Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Here Comes the Sunny Last Chance for the Climate and A Fresh Chance for Civilization is a non-fiction climate book by Bill McKibben, one of the best-known environmental writers and activists in the United States. The book examines the rapid rise of solar and wind power and argues that the clean energy transition is no longer a distant possibility, but an active historical shift already underway. Rather than treating climate change only as a story of loss and delay, McKibben presents renewable energy as a practical path that could reduce emissions, weaken fossil fuel dependence, and open space for a more equitable social order. The book combines climate reporting, energy analysis, and political critique, with a strong focus on the economic and cultural stakes of moving beyond fossil fuels. Its purpose is both explanatory and persuasive. It shows why the energy transition matters, what is blocking it, and why the moment carries significance, not just for the climate, but for civilization itself. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, solar and wind are framed as the defining energy breakthrough of the present era. A central claim of the book is that solar and wind power have reached a scale and cost profile that makes them historically unusual. McKibben does not present renewables as a symbolic gesture or niche alternative. He treats them as the fastest growing energy sources in history and as technologies that are increasingly cheaper than fossil fuel-based power in many contexts. This matters because the book is built on the idea that the climate crisis is now being met by a technological shift with real momentum, not only by policy promises, by emphasizing rapid installation rates and falling costs. McKibben argues that the question has changed from whether clean energy is possible to whether society can accelerate adoption quickly enough. The point is not that the transition is automatically complete, but that the material basis for a different energy system is already visible. That makes the book less about abstract hope and more about recognizing an existing transformation and the urgency of scaling it. Secondly, the fossil fuel system is portrayed as politically powerful, but increasingly out of step with reality. McKibben gives substantial attention to resistance from oil, gas, and coal interests, along with the politicians and institutions that support them. The book suggests that fossil fuels remain dominant, not because they are the best available energy option, but because they are embedded in power structures, regulation, finance, and ideology. This framing is important because it shifts the climate problem away from a purely technical question and toward a struggle over control. The book implies that the main obstacle is no longer lack of renewable technology, but the organized defense of an older energy economy. That defense is described as especially harmful because it slows its transition that is already economically rational in many places. By highlighting this tension, McKibben shows that climate action requires more than individual consumer choices. It requires confronting institutions that benefit from scarcity, extraction, and delay. This political analysis is one of the book's key strengths because it explains why an apparently obvious energy solution can still face resistance. Thirdly, the book argues that renewable energy could change power relations, not just emissions. A distinctive idea in Here Comes the Sun is that solar energy is not only a cleaner fuel source, but also a different social and political logic. McKibben repeatedly stresses that sunlight cannot be hoarded in the way fossil fuels can. Once the hardware is installed, energy becomes more distributed, more durable, and less dependent on concentrated control over supply. That means the transition to renewables has implications for geopolitics, markets, and inequality. The book suggests that fossil fuels support systems of scarcity because they depend on extraction, transport, and geopolitical leverage, while solar power can support a more decentralized and abundant energy order. This is why McKibben links climate policy to civilization design. He is not only asking how to lower carbon emissions, but what kind of society emerges when energy is less monopolized? The book's analysis is persuasive because it connects engineering with social structure, showing that an energy source can shape democracy, public power, and economic fairness. In that sense, the book treats climate change as an opportunity to rethink the foundations of modern life. Fourthly, climate action is presented as a collective political task, not a matter of private virtue. The book does not place its hope in individual purity or lifestyle changes alone. Instead, McKibben emphasizes organized action, public pressure, and civic mobilization. This is consistent with his long career in environmental activism, and it gives the book a practical edge. The argument is that if renewable energy is already viable, then society must create the political conditions for it to spread quickly enough. That includes building support for public policy, resisting fossil fuel lobbying, and making clean energy visible as a mainstream choice rather than a marginal one. The emphasis on activism also matters because it turns the book from diagnosis into strategy. McKibben treats public engagement as necessary to overcome inertia in energy systems, utilities, and government. He does not offer a simplistic blueprint, but he does insist that collective action can reshape the pace of change. This makes the book useful for readers who want a framework for climate engagement that is realistic about obstacles, while still grounded in hope and agency. Lastly, the book reimagines climate response as a chance to build a more humane civilization. The subtitle is important because the book is not only about stopping harm. He presents the climate crisis as a crisis of civilization, meaning a failure in how power, energy, and human priorities have been organized. Solar and wind therefore become more than technical fixes, they become symbols and tools for a saner, less destructive order. The book's final vision is deliberately broad, linking environmental repair with a more humane public life. It suggests that cleaner energy could reduce some of the political and moral distortions produced by fossil dependence, including inequality, coercion, and environmental damage. This makes the book stand out from climate books that focus only on catastrophe. McKibben keeps the urgency, but he pairs it with a civilizational argument about redesigning systems around abundance, cooperation, and shared benefit. The result is a book that tries to make the energy transition legible, not only as necessity, but as a form of cultural renewal. In conclusion, Here Comes the Sun will be most valuable to readers who want a serious climate book that is neither fatalistic nor naive. It is well suited to general readers. Students of environmental politics, activists, policymakers, and anyone trying to understand why renewable energy has become such a decisive issue. The book offers practical benefit by clarifying the real stakes of the energy transition, not only how emissions can be reduced, but how energy systems shape economics, democracy, and global power. Its intellectual benefit is equally strong. McKibben connects climate science, energy markets, and political resistance into one coherent argument. What distinguishes it from many other climate books is its unusual combination of urgency and constructive focus. That makes it especially relevant for readers looking for a grounded, analytically sharp, and genuinely forward-looking account of the climate challenge.